Hello, this is Rob Cricket speaking. Welcome to this Father Fusion Level 1 series of seminars. This is seminar number 1, God's Prophetic Future for You. It was recorded on the 27th of May 2012. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to be here and to conduct this fusion training. In the will of God, we stand in faith with you and Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. This is your meeting, this is your program. And we have 10 weeks of this, Lord, and we're expecting transformations and really, really wonderful progress in you, according to your will, according to your heart's desire for us. I bless this place where we're holding it, and I bless its sanctity for the period of time that we're here. We give you all the praise and the glory, Lord Jesus, for bringing us all into a place where we are able to do this kind of training. In your name we bless this meeting and this group and everyone here. Amen. Amen. My expectation for 10 weeks is that you really want to get something out of this. And there are two ways of getting things out of it. One is to experience something of God, and one is to experience something of what you are understanding and building on in your understanding. And in order to experience things of God, we really have to enter into a more intimate realm with God. We have to come into our heart space, and we have to come into the space of our spirit. And so this is designed for your relationship with God to be enhanced. For that purpose, it has to come. It has to step out of a more Pentecostal, hallelujah, tongue wagging environment, and come down into something really solemn and sincere in your own heart. The purpose of the 10-week program is to plant in you experiences with God and values with God that lead you directly, with nothing intervening, into the doing of the will of God in the way that he calls perfect. And that requires you to have some understandings that you don't yet have, and to have some experiences that challenge that part inside of you that does the will of God. It's not designed to bring up all of your idiosyncrasies about your parents beating you and rejecting you as a kid, or not getting on with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, or not having one, not having a job, having too many jobs, whatever. We're not really touching that zone of you, and the exercises are not designed to bring that up inside of you. And so bear in mind that the focus is you and God, and the focus is what's the heartland of that inside of yourself, not on a good day when everybody's rousing and cheering beside you, but in the worst of the worst days when you're utterly alone and on your own and it's just you and God. What's that like? And how does it work for you when you're just yourself, when you truly are only you, and even at that time where God's not even present? And how does that work for you? Because that is the most honest version of you. That's the most real version of you. And everything else on top of that is really just blessing and goodness. So we're looking at the honesty element between you and God. And I'm wanting to give you as much as you can draw on. And I'm expecting you to play with 100% capacity within yourselves. It's a difficult experience doing the will of God, but if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. It makes demands on yourself, because that's how God grows us. God grows us by sacrifice. And as we move through these 10 weeks, all I ask on you is don't give up on God. Stay with the program, and it will lead you into some really powerful things that you want from God. They might not be way out explosive things, but you'll discover yourself becoming the person that you want to be in God more and more as each week goes by, as you get a bit of momentum happening in it. The format that I've given you is on this printed, double printed page. It's got the 10 weeks outlined. With any luck, we will get through half of the material in each day, because it's very easy to get into teaching and discussing. But the just briefly, we're doing today God's prophetic mind of Christ for your future. We find that in getting into a fusion with the will of God, that whole concept, we discussed it last week, that whole concept is, if you take a look in the Bible and you come through all of the scriptures in the Bible, up until the Old Testament, in all of the Old Testament, the highest scriptures really point to claiming life, having a life. Jesus comes along and then says, let's make that life born again. And it's a whole other reality for your life. Now, if we look at those two collections of pools of values, the highest one of them is to be perfect like God is perfect. And that means doing God's will and doing it perfectly. It's not preached in church a whole lot, because most people in church tend not to be doing it. They tend not to have a goal focused like that. They tend not to distill the Bible down into peak human goals. It tends to be just a broadcast splattering of a whole lot of different values. And a lot of Christians still end up with so many questions unanswered because they haven't really got a goal-focused way of perceiving life in Christ. So the idea of that is a fusion of your will and the will of God. And when you do that, suddenly the scripture totally makes sense, all of it, and your life makes sense and you really get a grasp on it. The core way of starting, the entry point that God gives us for that, is the prophetic world, because Christ himself is prophetic. The Father himself is prophetic, among other things. And so the starting point for coming, bringing you into a place of fusion with the will of God, is bringing you into exploring how the prophetic mind of Christ works in you, so that you can identify different features about it, so that you can live in it. The idea is to recognize the prophetic mind of God, the prophetic mind of Christ within that, and discover how you are being shaped by God to walk in that and to live in that. It doesn't necessarily turn you into a mystic where you go live by yourself alone in the woods, but many people have done that. So the idea of these 10 weeks is outlined on this page. Hold that with you, and you can bring it with you every week if you want. The second one has got some scriptures to give you a scriptural idea of some of the features that are in a fusion-minded kind of reality. Did you get these? Yeah. I'm looking at the top one now. And there are ideas there like prophetic union, prophetic on doing God's will, the prophetic on your vocation, you know, your actual work for Christ, prophetic supply, prophetic on reward, and so on. So you get ideas within the prophetic about what's God's promises. How do we see this happening in somebody like Jesus, or how do we see somebody prophesying this, for example, in Isaiah? So these are the kinds of studies that are being presented. How does the prophetic work? How is it scripturally stated to us? And in entering through that portal, how does the will of God open up to us? And how then can we use the will of God in our daily life?
Could you just explain what you mean by prophetic?
By prophetic?
Yes. There's several ways of looking at prophetic.
I suppose I'm looking at it through all of these different definitions of it, but if we're in the prophetic of God, we see the prophetic outlined through the Old Testament through the prophets. The prophets really aren't significant until after the people come into Israel, and we start then to see a line of prophets really being empowered from heaven. They're not just unusual believers. Now heaven is really interacting with certain men and some women, and God is moving in them, and they're now speaking God's word into the community. So they are called prophets. within that dimension of being able to speak God's word for a situation into the world, there comes also a dimension of timelessness. So the past becomes known to you because God carries a timelessness. So God gives you access to viewing the past and drawing from the past. God also gives you access to the future and his plans for the future, or people's activities in the future. The prophetic also gives you a vertical dimension where if heavenly consciousness is opened up to you and your heavenly citizenship is starting to blossom, then you also find that you are able to access heavenly citizens and heaven itself. And the vertical consciousness is the one that gives you the dimension of God in which you are living. And all of this is the realm of the prophetic. So we've got, if God is touching you, God is going to be changing your reality around you so that there is a seamlessness between the things that you are seeing and tasting and touching and feeling, the stuff of your senses, and the stuff of immortality that's in God himself. Does that ring a bell with the prophetic that you know?
Yes.
Yeah. And there are, the prophetic is not simply telling the future. There are lots and lots of different dimensions about it. But it's the heartland of God, and it's the doorway of God. After a while, it opens up and you discover that there's a lot more in God than just the prophetic, because the vertical line in God, the depth of God, the height of God, takes you into relationships and heavenly realms and the politics of heaven that really don't have anything to do with just simply knowing the past and declaring the future. So that's a little handout thing, just to give you an idea of the dimension that we're working with. The whole thing, the whole program depends upon a connection to God which is prophetic, and so we intend to do some of that today. Because I want you to be able to come into a training that is able to touch your sincerity, I want to style it in a way that brings you into a contemplative zone. And if you're Pentecostal only, then the contemplative zone is something you may not even be familiar with. But a great deal of history within the Christian church has been the development of contemplative heartedness toward God and with God. And that kind of heart has got a solemnity about it. It's your honesty. It's like if your mother has just died and you're at the hospital and she's just died, all of a sudden you are very, very solemn. You are very... Some Pentecostal might come by and go, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and that's really not what you want to hear right now. You've been plunged into a depth and a nakedness of yourself that speaks to God and wants to hear from God in a very different manner. It's naked, it's open, it's just, there are no frills in it whatsoever. And in that place, God builds our divine will and builds our future and builds our integrity and builds the real us. And it's that we very much often want to experience with our partners. And it's that which very often gets clouded by all the baggage that we bring into relationship, for example. So in order to set a pace, a kind of a pace like that, I've got a little prayer thing that I want to start each session with, so that you get a little something that you can do. Here it is. Now this is probably a bit little, but I have a prayer book here, and I want to start each session with this contemplative kind of prayer and a contemplative kind of a worship of God. And it starts with a glory be, and I'll show you what that is. It's simply a worshipful expression toward God. And then it has some prayers, and the prayers are in this book. What I'd recommend is that we have a scripture reading, we do a glory be, and then we start the prayer book. I can give the prayer book over here, and one person stands and just reads one prayer, and then passes it to the next person who reads one prayer, passes it to the next person who reads one prayer. The idea being that, and we will do this for a certain number of minutes, after which it will end, and it will end at the end of one of the prayers, I stand up, and then we finish with a glory be again. What it does is it gives you a little practice that is restful and letting your heart sink down and agree with the prayers and just listen to the prayers, or if you're reading the prayer. The idea of this is that as you start to get into the depth of yourself, you find that God is looking after your needs because you're looking after the needs of the world. God's not just looking after you. God's now looking after you because of what you are doing for the world. And if you are praying, your prayer now is, you're saying a prayer for yourself, but your prayer is also for the world. And so the two themes within Christianity are, your prayers for the world are kind of crying out to God saying, we want this, we want this, and the gospel is the answer to that. You can imagine all of the Psalms, for example, are invariably a cry out to God. You know, God, please kill all my enemies because they're so horrible and they hate you and they're around my neck. And the gospel comes in and says, I'm your savior. You know, lay down your burdens. I will carry your distresses and your burdens and your cares. And so in Christianity, we have the Psalms. The Old Testament really is a cry out to God to help us and to connect with us. And the Gospels from the New Testament come in and say, here I am now helping you, yoke yourself to me, and in yoking yourself to me, I will have you do works for the world, and in that way you'll have your fulfillment and you will be free of your problems at the same time. So this is the way to listen and say the prayers. You say the prayers as though the whole world is praying through you. And you're listening to the prayers as if you are listening for the whole world. So we have a gospel reading as if the whole world is receiving from Christ, and a prayer as if the whole world is praying to Christ. Right, cool? Understand that? Now this is, if you go into the schools of the depth of the perfection of doing the will of God, this is the kind of mentality that you come across and the approach to God. So this is the start of it there. That's the first prayer, okay? I'll let you know. The glory be is a simple way of praising God. And it goes like this. If you consider yourself that you want to be pressed into Christ and pressed into the way that Jesus of Nazareth does the will of the Father, then you come to the pinnacle of that in Jesus' life, where he has yielded himself to the cross and he's doing a work for the Father through the cross. But on the cross, Jesus himself is absolutely, utterly abandoned to the will of the Father. And so when he's on the cross and he's nailed to the cross, hands and feet, and he's been scourged and he is absolute mess, his heart is the most open to humanity and the most open to the Father, because he is at his most vulnerable at that point. And so if you also adopt that position and press yourself into Christ who is on the cross, because he is his most vulnerable, you don't want him when he's totally strong, you want to enter into him when he's his weakest, when he's most accessible. And that's the same in love relationships. If you're sitting with your partner, you don't want your partner to be big and tough and protective. You want your partner to be absolutely unzipped. So then you've got access to that person and they've got access to you. And you don't want to be playing any games. You want the raw you to be connecting to the raw other person. So consider Jesus on the cross like this, and you're pressing yourself into Christ on the cross for the sake of entering into that place where you and God are inseparably unified and accessible to each other, and nothing can stand in your way. No distractions of your human life and your human flesh can take you from that. So a way of doing that is to consider a part of your life, and if I can pull it up on here, I'll show you how that's done. It's just very simply called the glory be. Glory be to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Remember, I'm on this cross of Christ, to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, because in the beginning you come from the earth. and all of the elements of your life are found here in the earth. They're not found on Mars or in the sky. They're drawn out of the earth and out of the earth of your parents, as it was in the beginning, is now, because your heart is now. Your heart is where your present is, and ever shall be, because your words are what create your future. You speak your words, and your future comes into being. If you speak words of cursing, cursing will come about you. If you speak words of blessing, blessing will come about you. If you interact with other people, through your words, you design the quality of your relationship. So, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. You're uplifting your arms to a paradise future and a destiny within the realm of the Father Himself. Amen. And I'll show you that here. You have glory be to the Father, and you're touching your forehead. To the Son, you're touching your heart or your diaphragm. To the Holy Spirit, you're touching your right hand onto your left and the right shoulder. If you're Orthodox, you're going to do it the other way, of course. As it was in the beginning, you're going to touch the floor. Is now, you're going to touch your heart. Ever shall be, you're going to touch your lips. World without end, you're going to open it up here. So said in faith, done by grace. Ha, we've got that bit in there. So we've got the amen here coming to your heart. So the idea is to stand up and do this, and this is the sequence. We stand up and we do glory be to the Father, and then simply sit down, and we're going to then have the reading, the scripture reading. And I'm not sure if I've included the scripture reading in this. You can do a scripture reading for me, which is the first thing we do after we sit down, okay? So you stay standing. I want you to read that one, okay?
All of the pink.
All of the pink. And when he's finished that, then you can stand and you can read the first prayer, all right? And I'm going to time it for 10 minutes. And 10 minutes, everything, all right? And that way, then we'll get into the teaching of it. We cool? We're only 35 minutes late. All right, have you got enough space to move around? All right. If you haven't, just get yourself a piece of space. Make sure it's... So the idea is you can go through this whole 10-week course and just kind of sit there and do what you're told to do and so on. But the idea is, right from the get-go, forget about everybody else and just get into your own space. You know, this is about you doing your own thing. It's letting you be personal in your encounter with God. So you put that book down if you want to, well, just for this, yeah. So that you do a glory be without holding on to the book. And so you can take your time. I'm so used to doing this because now it's just very fluid for me. But if it's awkward for you, take your time. Maybe practice doing it at home. And as you do it, God will start to really come forward in Himself as you press into God and just let this be God's meaning as well. All right, let's go.